It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back, cowboys and cowgirls, to another Ingles and Ian. But we have a special guest tonight, the grandfather of cowboys, rideforfree.com, Mr. Robert Wetzel. How are you doing today, buddy?
Awesome. Glad to be here. It's a I've missed this. It's like you get spoiled getting to like fill in every odd now and again. It feels like it's been a while, and you know, I need a little break. Work's grinding me down, and I need somebody to get me fired up for OSU Kansas tonight.
Oh yeah, man. That's going to be, I don't know what to make of this basketball team. Like, they're either like amazing or they're awful. There's no in between. And I don't know what to think. Like I watch them, like they put up 81 against West Virginia, and West Virginia is notoriously a good defensive team. And we put up 81 and only gave up like 59. And so I'm like, well, can we beat Kansas? I don't know.
See, that's the hook. The hook and the reeling. I can hear the rod and the reel right now. And I think they might have, check your cheek. Check your cheek, Jacob. The hook may be in there.
But the thing is, like, sometimes they're really good and sometimes they're terrible. And I don't know what to make of it. Like,
well,
is it a motivation thing because the NCAAs or whatever? I don't know.
I don't know that it's a motivation thing. I think it's just as simple as if their offense is working or not. I think West Virginia, you know, listen, if I'm an opposing team, I would never play high pressure defense on Oklahoma State.
No.
I would stack it inside the 3-point line and just tell you, you want to stand out there and shoot it all day?
They're only averaging like 29% from beyond the arc. I mean, they're awful three-point shooter.
You got one guy who can consistently hit a three, and so we can keep an eye on him. But I would not, like, because I mean, you look at what happened against West Virginia. OSU just killed them in the paint. There was a point at which I think they showed points in the paint. It was like OSU had like 36 and West Virginia had two.
Right. Well, and they also shot 34 foul shots. Like, you should never, I mean, I don't care who you are, you should never foul somebody that many times. That's like 20-something fouls.
And the shocking thing there is, I think, here's your maybe semi-warm take of the week. I think that's an indicator that Bob Huggins is on his way out.
I've been thinking about that. He's been doing it for a long time now. What, 20 plus years?
His teams, you know, generally speaking, his teams play, you know, a lot of pressure defense. And, you know, how many times I've watched their games, I'm like, why aren't they? They're not calling a foul. They don't call a foul. Call a foul. Somebody call a foul. They're out there playing aggressive, bumping and grinding on guys. And this game, he got no love, and he was not stalking the sidelines like he's usually stalking the sidelines, chewing the shit out of the refs. Nothing. He was sitting down.
Yeah, I've been wondering that myself. Like, it just feels like he's like, I'm done, you know, because it's crazy, you know, basketball, NIL and portal and everything else. Like, the game is changing. That's why, like, Coach K's going, you know, Williams from UNC's going, you know, all these things and all these older coaches. I'm like, I won't blame them. I mean, it's a different ballgame. It's all about getting old and staying old now. It used to be all about the one and dones, and now it's this crazy, like, we want to get juniors and seniors. I don't remember who it was, but there's a coach who said he's not going to recruit high school. He's only going to recruit the.
Well, there was some chatter about Chris Beard with that, right? I don't know that it was him. I don't recall the quote, but yeah, I mean, you end up in a situation where you're going to get so much movement now that the players will have so much freedom, right? Which, great, fine, go go find the place that you're going to play or that you'll feel more comfortable at. Guess what? The smart coaches are going to say, okay, how do I figure this out? How do I game that system? Right. And you'll have guys that figure it out and, you know, and tear it up doing it. You know, Mike Boynton, if he could just recruit shooters,
right?
He's recruiting the crap out of everything else. Recruit some freaking shooters, or at least, wait a minute, at least recruit guys who are shooters that when they come to Oklahoma State, they continue to be shooters. Wasn't that kid from Syracuse supposed to be able to shoot threes?
Yeah, well, there's supposed to be like a new five-star in the pipeline now. So, I mean, next year could be a really big year for Oklahoma State basketball. I'm still not sold on Boynton. I'm just not. He's not proven he can do it, especially in conference, which, and granted, the Big 12 is probably the best basketball conference in the country. I mean, it's a meat grinder, and you got to play everybody twice. You know, it's a round robin and everything else, but he's never had a winning conference or winning record in conference, I don't think. And he's had long enough.
Yeah, I thought they did last. Was it last year? I thought they did last year.
I don't think they had one last year. I think they were like one game under 500 last year.
Well, we'll see what happens. I mean, he's going to be one of those that if he can't quite get it over the hump, it's going to stink because he is a super solid dude.
Yeah, no. And
he buys into the culture and.
Yeah, he's a great dude. Like, I want him to succeed. He's just not succeeding. That's my issue right now is he's just not succeeding. And, you know,
and you've got, what is it? You got Keaton. Is it Keaton Page? You got Keaton Page on staff.
Yeah.
Tell him, go find shooters.
But, you know, it's one of those things like, we had the number one, and he's proven to be a really good NBA player. We had the number one draft pick, and we got to the second round of the tournament last year.
Right.
You shouldn't do that with the number one pick. You should at least get the sweet minimum. Yeah.
And you can't tell me either that you didn't have enough other talent around him. Okay. You know, that to me is, you know, it'd be one thing if I watched Oklahoma State and I was like, God, they just don't have guys. Like, they don't have any dudes, man. They, you know, there's no dudes. Listen, the Boone twins are good. They're good. They're good D1 college basketball players. You know, Bryce Williams is a good player. I mean, Ice, I love him. I'm done with Ice Likely. The dude is the second coming of Doug Gottlieb. Okay. Because I remember Gottlieb, people just sagging off of him, like saying, fine, here, take the 15-footer. You can't hit it, okay? So it's like when he – that's the thing that gets me with Boynton, right, is you look at the – this team struggles offensively, okay? And then you look at the floor and you've got Likely, Cisse. Oh golly, I'm drawing the other big guy there in the middle who's pretty wild. Moncrief. Oh, God, I was totally blank on him. You'll have Ice, Moncrief, Cisse, and then two other guys. I'm trying to think. I'm looking at the floor and going, you've got one guy on the floor that I'm scared of hitting a shot more than 5 feet from the basket. You know, it's.
Well, it has thing that granted, it looks like they did that against West Virginia, but they have not been pounding the rock down low, which is what they need to do because that's where their strength is.
Yeah.
Get on the low block, let those guys go to work and pound the rock low.
Tyreek Smith. That's, I looked out there. He had out there Ice Likely, Moncrief, Tyreek Smith, and Cisse. Four of the five players on the floor. And I'm looking at that going, what are you going to do? There's four of your five guys can't hit a shot more than 5 feet from the basket. Right. So but that's what the whole thing with West Virginia played them in a way that made that available. Right. Made that available. Cisse is not generally a finisher around the basket. He did better against West Virginia. Your best finisher around the basket is Boone, Caleb Boone. And he's been, I don't know what's going on with him. His playing time has been limited. I mean, Tyreek Smith jumps out of the building, but that, I don't know if he could hit a bull in the ass with a handful of rice. I mean, please. So it's like, you know, and like Moncrief, has Moncrief ever hit a jump shot?
I haven't seen one yet.
Give me video, people, of Moncrief hitting like a little eight footer. Little jump hook or something. His, you know, God almighty. It's just like, Kansas. Anyway, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to make of this team. We beat Baylor when they were number one.
Yeah.
Which was probably a fluke. But in all honesty, if it wasn't for the NCAA being, well, fucking terrible.
Asshats.
Yes, we would still be in the tournament, right? Like most people would have us as the last four in, according to the rankings and everything else.
Because the overall record,
And you know what? As like a 12 seed, they would be a scary 12 seed.
Oh, nobody. That would be, remember when we played Oregon as a 12 seed?
Yeah.
That was, that really good Marcus Smart team?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right? And Oregon, like, screwy, whatever. They ended up a 12 seed, and everybody was like, what? What? Wait, what? They just won the Pac-12. What do you mean 12 seed? That'd be like that. You wouldn't want to play them. You would not want to play Oklahoma State.
And with the way they play defense, like, I've watched a lot of basketball. I used to coach basketball.
Yeah, same.
I don't know if I've seen a team fly around on defense like this. They are tenacious on defense. I've seen, you know, UAB and everybody else, the 40 minutes of hell and all that crap. This team is so good on
defense. Well, and the two things that I think OSU folks would say in years past, at least I would complain about, right? You have no depth in the middle, right? And your guys on the perimeter are not big guys. Well, holy crap. You know, Isaiah Anderson is a midget out there, and he's six something, right? I mean, you've got length on the perimeter.
Well, and then we're averaging like six blocks a game right now.
That's look at what you have in the middle. Yeah. You've got Cisse, Tyreek Smith, Caleb Boone, and Moncrief can go in there, right? You got four. I mean, think about who was the guy who played some for us last year in the middle? Is it Bernard, like Kuma or something?
I don't remember.
Bernard Kuma. I think it was Bernard Kuma, maybe was his name. And I think he's somewhere. I don't know if he transferred. I mean, he's nowhere to be seen. And maybe he transferred in the offseason because he saw the writing on the wall. I don't know. But he's like MIA. If he's still on the roster, that guy's MIA. And he was playing. I mean, so you've got four sure. And the depth is such that, I mean, there are a lot of times when you'll see both Cisse and Caleb Boone on the floor, or Cisse and Moncrief, or Tyreek Smith and Caleb Boone. You'll see two of those guys. And with two of those guys roaming around, and you've got three or four guys all with length, you know, five guys all with length that can work the perimeter, that makes a big difference defensively. I mean, there's no question those guys can play defense. They can play defense against just about anybody, unless you got a team who's going to shoot the eyes out of a three and then they're just going to lose to them anyway.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, you could definitely shoot over the Oklahoma State team. But, speaking of, if anyone's going to be in Stillwater late March, mid-April, I'm going to be in Stillwater. So if, hit me up if you want to have a beer or something. I'm going to go see the ladies play softball. I'm probably late March, but still trying to figure out some dates.
Speaking of that.
Yeah, they went. They went 4-1. Yeah.
Went 4-1. Yeah, 4-0 loss to Duke. Seemed kind of odd.
Well, the other thing I have to wonder is,
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah, they lost to Duke, and Duke is a, you know, highly ranked team. They're like 13th or 12th or something.
Okay, I mean,
they're a very good team, but it's also, it was their second game in a five in 3 days. Yeah. Like they were playing so much, and I know that's like how softball works, and which is still really weird to me because I'm a baseball guy. But
they've got a doubleheader coming up. Is it the 18th this week?
Mm-hmm.
LSU and Michigan.
Yeah, they're in Clearwater. Like apparently there's a bunch of like tournaments to start the season. So they're going to be in Clearwater going up against a bunch of other big time programs. But I mean, there's a really legitimate chance that the national title will be better.
That just would be sick.
In Oklahoma City too.
In Oklahoma City. That would sick. Please let that happen. Let that happen. You think about it. What are the odds it can, right? But it could. They're both good enough, right?
Depending on the polls, they're number one and number two, or number one and number three. Like
I think the D1 softball dropped the women to like five, I think, five or six.
But so, I mean, they're good enough to do it. Their new pitcher from, I think she transferred from like Arizona State or something. She is a monster.
Yeah.
They're good. They're going to be really good. I honestly think there's a good chance that Oklahoma State pulls down four natties.
I mean, think about this. Now go, sure. Right. We can pull down four natties, but just think about this possibility that you could have at least two of those be showdowns with OU.
Yeah, that's great. Well,
women's softball and golf, men's golf.
Well, OU's women's golf team is pretty good too.
Is doing very well. That would just be stupid. That would be stupid.
There could be now there could be three natties and it's bedlam. Like how fucking crazy would that be?
That'd just be stupid. Now you hear that, folks? I've totally corrupted Jacob. I've got him going the wrong direction. He's dropping F bombs. That's it.
I keep it together with Ian.
See, that's why Philip will never have me on 10-12, because I'll just coerce him into dropping F bombs. Then that's going to ruin his like Spotify rating or something. I don't know.
You know what? I'm going to grab a beer real fast.
Oh, there you go. Oh, there you go. What did I cut out?
Yeah, you were gone for a bit.
Wow. That's crazy. Oh, so I guess my phone can't multitask. I was looking at OSU's basketball conference record, and last year they were 11-7 in conference.
I stand corrected.
With the number one player in the draft.
Yeah, you got to be better than that.
got to do better than 11-7, although the Big 12 is a meat grinder. But anyway, we digress. The women went the weekend softball 4-1. They got a big doubleheader down in Florida. Well, they got to go south. They got to go west and south because they start early, right? And the weather, they're not playing softball up here.
Yeah. That is not happening. They're looking really good. To go 4-1 in five games in 3 days, that's a lot. And Arizona State was ranked. They're looking really good. And I think it's going to be that. I mean, it's one reason I'm going to Stillwater. Like, I think this team is going to be special and I want to go see them. So
You got baseball's in baseball, I think, preseason. They're in the top 10.
They are.
Right. They're sixth or seventh, depending on who you look at.
Which I haven't paid that much attention. My father pays way close attention. He's like, yeah, this is about right. But you know, I did not expect them to be, you know, top 10 in the country preseasons. I mean, they got a real, you start the season in the top 10, you got a real shot the natty, especially in, you know, baseball.
Yeah. Well, and here's my thing. I personally think Holiday, I mean, yeah, they're doing great. They're having good seasons. he needs to have one where they really make a run.
Well, even right? Ian before the season said this is a put up or shut up season for Holiday. So
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say it's put up or shut up. He's had too much success, right? Are we gonna? Is that how we're gonna be? Are we gonna be like we're gonna turn into like a school that like nope, you're not going to the College World Series every year. You're not good enough. I mean, well, you're competing
it's so,
for.
It's so hard to get to College World Series.
It's so hard. So many good programs. It's so hard. It's like Holiday's having enough success. I think of it more as, you know, to me, it's different than Boynton, right? Boynton's a great guy. We love him. You know, has he shown us the ability to put together a roster that can really go? And he's in year what? Five, six? When did he come in?
I'm pretty sure it's year six.
Was it 2017? Did he come in?
I'm trying to remember, but
I think yeah. Ford's last year, I think was 14, 15. Underwood would have been 15. So 16, 17. So yeah. So that'd be 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 20. Yeah. This would be year at least it's at least year six. Right. And you mm-hmm. would think by then, you know, if you haven't, you know, he's just, to me, he's like, he's almost turning into like a different version of like Travis Ford. I'm going to get yelled at for that. But yeah. Listen, Travis Ford bought into it. Like he bought into the history and the culture of Oklahoma State basketball.
Yeah, and we all liked him for a while. But...
And we liked him. He was a good dude. Like he was an okay dude. And well, I don't know too many people who would have, you know, said, I hope he fails. I mean, everybody wanted him to succeed. And well, that's kind of what Boynton's.
Boynton needs an OC. That's right. He needs an OC. That's really just like the long and the short of what's going on. Like, it, maybe it's just a guy to help him recruit. Like, it, obviously, he has his guys, right?
Yeah.
Boynton has his guys, and he wants a certain mindset, which. You know what? I love the defensive side of the ball. I think it's what they're doing is great, but he needs somebody to be like, well, see that guy over there? He can score points. We should definitely recruit him.
Yeah. Right. Here we go. We've digressed to Boynton again. That's my fault. I'll take the hit on that one. I pulled us back there. I think the story of the spring could be, I mean, and I've got someplace else I want to go on the pod before we get off, but for the spring stuff, the story of the spring is going to be women's golf. I think it's like, I want to see if they did ridiculous shit last fall.
Yeah, like, they did
stupid stuff.
But McGinty transferred, which is a big transfer.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's, I forget about that.
But as of this afternoon, they were number one at their tournament in both team and individual. So they're still rolling.
So today was round two, right?
Yeah. So I didn't see the update.
I just knew they were in fourth, I think, after round one, but they must have.
Yeah. I just, you know, I follow them on Twitter and they were like, we're now number one in both and great.
Jesus.
But yeah, they are phenomenal. I mean, they are rushing it. Even with McGinty gone, they're playing really well.
Yeah.
But that girl, dude, I was watching her really close in the fall. She was shooting like 12 under for tournaments.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. She was a monster.
Yeah. The thing will be, does she continue that, right? You can have those springs or those falls, you know, that season where you just kind of find something and, you know, it's every time you – it also happens too, you know, what happens for a players for a good, I mean, at almost any level of like college or high school, whatever it's in any sport really is if you're at a point in your game, you're playing at a level that when you walk out on the floor, you walk onto the first tee, right? You step up to the alley and in your head, it's not, am I going to win? It's how much am I going to win by? Right. It's almost like the Tiger mentality or like Nicholas. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that you've got a lot of people at some point, if you were a good enough athlete to play, you know, high school, college, at whatever levels, then the chances are you might have had your moment. Like it could have been a game, right? Could have been a single game, it could have been a season, it could have been a month, where you're, as they say, you're in the zone. Like you found it, you found your rhythm, and you just can do no wrong. I mean, that's, you know, I think that that can happen. And so she, I think last fall for her was one of those. I think that was just one of those where.
Oof. Yeah. But she's also been bouncing around. So I wonder like what's going on there, but whatever. But yeah, I've definitely been there. There was a time, especially when I was curling, was like, when every time I stepped on the ice, it was like, okay, who's coming in second? You know, it's like Larry Bird in the 3-point contest. Like who's coming in second, guys?
Right. That, yeah, that was, I had that happen in my last season of college golf. It was NAIA, small school NAIA in, you know, Kansas, in the middle of Kansas. What the heck was our league? For heaven's sakes, how can I not? I played for Southwestern College and, you know, we're playing McPherson and we're playing, you know, Tabor and those folks. There were two kids on the team the previous year who were a little better than me. And most of the time we'd go to a tournament. There were kids at a couple of kids at a couple of the other schools who were better than me. And you just, you know, you go into a tournament and you're just, you know, you're feeling the pressure to do well, to try to compete with them. And I think I won a meet that year, but I ended up finishing second in the conference tournament. Now, granted, we played it at our home course, which was a big help. But then the next year, our team wasn't nearly as strong, but the conference wasn't as strong. And by the time we got to the conference tournament, every meet that I played in where other teams from our conference were in the meet, nobody from a conference team beat me. Now, I might not have won the meet, but nobody on a conference team that was also there shot better than I did. So when we went to the conference tournament, it was like, I'm going to win. I just walked out. I was like, I should win. I'm going to win. I ended up winning by like 5 shots, right? And because it was just the attitude, like it's such a different mental place when you're playing a sport, you know, like you just talked about, you're going out and it's like, you're not even questioning whether or not you're better than your competition, right? And everybody who's played sports really competitively and you were good enough that like you got to play, like you started, right, or you were one of the, you know, if you're on a golf team, you were one of the five and your score was counting all the time, or hoops, you started, you know, whatever. I think everybody's kind of had that moment, whether it was a, you know, one game, 1 week, 1 month, a season, where that particular year was, you just could do no wrong, right? And speaking of doing no wrong, what the hell has happened to wrestling?
Oh, I mean, AJ getting hurt doesn't, which is a bonkers fucking story.
That's a crazy ass story. Unbelievably lucky he didn't get, him and that other kid didn't get killed.
Well, and they didn't kill anybody else. I mean,
yeah,
like,
and that the football coach just happens to be the car you pass, you know, yeah. That, I mean, that was, your bonkers is right. That's just bonkers, but he's one wrestler.
Yeah. But I mean, it's still a lot of points, right? So I don't know. I mean, I fully trust John Smith. I mean, he is
a
legend, yeah. And I don't know. Maybe it's just a thing where like everyone's like, holy shit, what happened? You know? And
I think that's a big, with wrestling. I mean, to me, you know, among athletes at whatever level, right? High school, college, professional. If you asked me to name a type of athlete that checks off the boxes of, you know, uber cocky, uber macho, uber aggressive, not afraid to scrap, like, let's go, right? You piss me off, let's have at it right now, right? Could go from 0 to 60 and like rip you in half. I would say a wrestler, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying right or wrong here, I'm not saying good or bad, but I'm saying that as a wrestler, you know, that can be the mentality. It's fast, you got to be jacked up quick, you know, you can't, there's no like 5-10 minutes of game time to feel out the opponent. You know, you've got to go get it on fast. And it just strikes me that something like that happening. I used the term on Twitter and somebody accused me of being old, but I just thought, I think that just, no other way to put it in my head, that that took the starch out of their shorts, right?
Yeah, that sucked
some of that energy out.
Especially like AJ had that over the top.
Oh, swagger.
He was just the guy, right? I mean,
yeah.
And, you know, he's not, I mean, I saw someone on Twitter today, like he's not coming back. Like,
no.
And was he, I don't know if he'll be done at OSU. I don't know. But like he, I think there's a thing that happened with AJ that if he comes back next year, there will be a level of domination that the college sports world has never seen. Because
so you think it'll go that way?
I think he was humble. And I think that that man, through all of this, he understands the limitations. Like he always seemed larger than life, that big, incredible, everything.
Oh, him flexing in front of the OU dugout for baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. I mean, and he met death. And that is a really interesting thing to meet. I've come close to it a couple of times. And I think that too good, and I think he will come back if he does come back.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a big question of if he'll come back, because like WWE wants him, and you know, he could go MMA and all that shit. But if he comes back, I think he will come back with this like reserved resolve and destroy
people. That's interesting. See, my concern would be that he might not come back with the edge that he had before, but yeah, you could be right.
I think this will give him, I saw death in the face. I messed up. I fucked up, and I'm not going to let it go to waste. Like, I really think that's what's.
Well, I can't remember if it was my father or somebody said that the two things that will change your perspective of life without your permission, birth and death. Right. And he said, I think it was my dad. He was probably repeating something he had heard, right? But that, and it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you died or that there was a successful birth, but that moment of life, right? The moment of life coming in or the moment of life going out,
right,
that it will change your perspective, whether you, you know, give it permission to or not, right? One way or the other. And so it'll be very, that's fast. I mean, it'd be very interesting. I think number one, does he come back? Right. Number one. And if he doesn't, what does back. He do?
I honestly don't think he comes back, but yeah, if he does, I think he's going to be like, you know, he's always had that swag. Right. And I think he's going to be like, if he does come back, he's going to be like, I'm going to win. Done. Over. Not talk shit, not do whatever, right, you know, not be what he has been. I think he's right, going to come back and be like, I'm going. I really think that's what's going to happen with him.
Oh my God. And then we've had all this talk about great spring stuff. As we go into the spring, the women, the equestrian, aren't they, were ranked like number one for a while or something. I thought
I haven't checked on them. I got too many sports to follow.
Can we mention football, or is that, or can we?
Of course, definitely.
We can. So here we go. We hired, somehow or other, Gundy pulls this off, takes advantage of whatever the dysfunction at Auburn was to hire away an SEC, good SEC defensive coordinator for less money.
Well, and a lot of people that I follow and like see on Twitter, they say he's better than Knowles.
Really? Hang on. I may go away for a second. We've got, smoke alarm is over. There you go. This is your side tangent here before we talk more about football. We have the Nest smoke, you know, carbon monoxide smoke detectors. Well, I wasn't aware of the fact that the steam coming out of the shower would set one of those things off. And clearly my son just took a shower, and of course he runs it at like full hot water with the door closed, doesn't turn the effing fan on, and he opens the door and it's deet, deet, deet. this is going off. Now, thank God I'm normally upstairs within like 20 feet of the thing. And so you just hit the button on the phone to silence it. But that's what was going on. And I don't know if the wife is upstairs. She may have taken the dogs outside. So that could have been a fun event.
The interesting thing about Mason is how Gundy interviewed. Have you seen those stories?
No. Yet? Now, see, I haven't seen those stories.
So he brought him in, basically said, run a practice. And he sat down and started scoping out plays and everything else with everyone on defense side of the ball. And he uses the same base defense that Knowles, which is
okay. Good.
And he also uses a lot of the base terminology too. So the kids who are on defense right now don't have to learn this whole new thing.
Right.
But he basically brought him in and said, act like you're the defensive coordinator, right? And they went on for like hours of interviews and just like doing crazy things. And I don't know how Gundy pulled it off to get him to take that much less money. I have no clue.
Yeah. What was his, I know it was less money. What was the deal? What did he?
He was making 1.5 at Auburn. He makes 1.1 at Oklahoma State. So he took $400,000 less.
Oh my God. And How about that story?
We offered Knowles 1.3 to stay.
Right. But then Ohio State offered him almost two.
You're right. Exactly.
Right. But think about that. The state of Oklahoma State football, right? The first time in history that a coordinator gets paid over $1 million, and it was a $300,000 pay cut from where he was.
Hey, man. who knows why? My dad had an interesting theory about it, and I'm not completely certain he's wrong, but my dad was like, I think he told Mason in 3 years it'll be the head coach and I'm going to retire.
I don't think Gundy would do that.
I don't think Gundy would do that.
Would it shock the crap out of you? No, but I don't think Gundy would. I don't see Gundy. Gundy, to me, does not strike me as the kind of coach who's saying, in 3 years, I'm going to retire.
I mean, Gundy, he's still pretty young for the most part.
Gundy's in a – he's gonna work this out till his kid's out of school, right? And he's got another one on the way, and who knows? So I feel like Gundy for Oklahoma State, that if Gundy continues to field decent teams – right. If he doesn't have it, you don't want to have, if he has another 2014 type of year, 2014, like 2018 ish, you know, where he's getting a lot of shit because he's, you know, he's getting asked a lot of really tough questions. He's starting to get cranky about it, that you could see him maybe say, you know what? I'm going out to the ranch and hang out with my turtle and my donkey. But, I don't see Gundy right now. He's in the type of mood, you know, where in his head, I think he's in a kind of a revolving, kind of like his contract, right? I think he's in kind of a revolving 5-year kind of window where he's like every year just adds another year on of him saying, okay, I could keep doing this. Okay, I could keep doing this. Okay, I could. He has no idea. There's no way, Gundy. I just don't think. You can tell your dad I said so. Okay. I said he'd no way, you know, what do you lay off the crack pipe in the backyard and quit going to the back shed and sniffing something now. Come on. He's not doing it. Not doing it. Gundy would never say that. Interesting theory.
There is one move, if it were to happen, I would think that Gundy was about to. And it's if Zach Robinson joined the staff.
Ooh.
I've been thinking about that a lot because there's been a lot of chatter on Twitter and other places. Because, you know, he's the quarterback whisperer for the LA Rams.
Yep. He's got a Super Bowl ring.
If Zach were to come back, I think that would be like Gundy's like, okay, this is the next guy.
Well, you think about it. Think about the number of guys that if like the universe aligned, you could have Zach Robinson, J.W. Walsh.
He's already on staff.
He's already on staff, right? But now maybe he's into a more significant position possibly, right? How about Samples, right? You've got a number of guys now that are starting to be a part, not just of the Gundy tree, but Gundy in Oklahoma State, right? In other words, Gundy, right. It's not just somebody Gundy happened to have and he brought in, okay? These are guys that played for him and then have gone on and they're having success coaching. Now I'm getting worked up.
See, I have always thought, because of how Gundy has worked out, that the next coach will be a former player.
Has to. Oh, has. I think Oklahoma State, I'm with you 1,000% on that. I think Gundy has established the, this is the recipe. It's no guarantee of success, right?
Right.
Because you could get somebody that you think's got it and then they don't. But if Oklahoma State's going to have success, I think you have to have long-term, you have to have sustained success for a period of years like Gundy has done. And I think in order to do that, you have to have someone who's got loyalty, you know, who they look at Oklahoma State as, man, if I go there and I light it up, I'd be happy with that. That could be a great career, right? I don't need to go be an NFL coach. I don't need to go coach at Bama or Ohio State or whatever, right? And because that's what you have in Gundy. Now you got me thinking about that crap. I have trouble calm.
I mean, could you imagine Zach coming back? I mean, I love watching him play, like, especially with what he's done in the NFL. Like, I would love to see him come back. He would be like, make him the OC, fire Dunn.
Dunn's got 1 year. It's this year. If we don't see, I'm tired of the excuses. I am too. He did all the magic with the offensive line, with all the stuff with the offensive line going on.
If they can recreate on average the bowl game, which granted, Spencer Sanders is, always great in the bowl game and everything else.
But I would go one step further than that. Create on average the last, three games?
Oh, Baylor was terrible. I mean, the Big 12 championship game was terrible.
But why was that so bad? I'm trying to remember. I mean, Baylor was a really good defense. Warren was out. Warren was hurt. Yeah. That was a big part of it. Warren was out. And Baylor's a really good defense.
Yes.
If you look at the last three games of the year, minus kind of how difficult that was with Baylor, I mean.
But that Notre Dame game was so perfect and so Oklahoma State. It was tempo. Boom, boom, boom. And just putting Spencer in that moment where he didn't have to make a decision. He just threw it. Or he ran or whatever.
And he ran it. See, but that's the other thing. He ran it. And now that Illingworth is gone, I think that one of the issues you've had with Oklahoma State is the lack of confidence in the backup quarterback. Okay. The fact that, hey, we've got a guy who runs. Well, let's not run him very much or if at all, because if he gets hurt, what do we do? Right. And Dunn said it. Dunn said it to Hunziker. All right, this past year in an interview, he said, well, it was towards the end of the season when they said, well, you're running the ball a lot more. And he's like, well, before we had to be careful because you didn't want to build too much of that into the offense, because if he gets hurt, your backup's not a runner. Well, that's gone, because everybody who's going to be there has the ability to run. So it's like, let's turn this bad boy. If Spencer's coming back, then turn it loose, man. Yeah. Let it rip.
And the tempo was there. The thing that we love as Oklahoma State people, the tempo was there again. It wasn't full 2011 tempo, etc.
It wasn't speed, but it was still tempo.
And I was just like, I remember watching the game. I was at my ex-girlfriend's house and everyone, I was in a house full of OU people and they're all looking at me and I'm like, yeah, this is what we do. This is what Oklahoma State does. We tempo.
Well, if you think about it too, it's not even a fact that you don't have to go light speed.
Right.
You just have to go fast enough that the defense has trouble adjusting. Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Oh, God. Well, I'm looking forward to spring ball. Hopefully we'll hear, some good nuggets out of spring ball, and with some good spring sports going, this ought to be pretty interesting. It's going to be sad when basketball, plays their last game. That kind of sucks.
Yeah, we only got, well, like 2 weeks less of basketball because of the...
Yeah, and yeah,
that still just pisses me off, man.
Oh, I know. That's the stupidest thing in the world.
$300. You know? $300. That's what that cost 6 years ago. That cost these kids a chance to play for the NCAA like tournament. That's bullshit.
Yeah, that was garbage. Oh, God. I mean, hopefully, I'd love to see them. I mean, they're what? They're 5-7, and they've got, 5-7 is 12. They got six games left. And I'd love to see them get to 500. I think it's going to be hard because you've got, Kansas tonight, you got Baylor, and you got Texas Tech left on the schedule.
So if this team stays together, I think there's a really good chance they come out like a banshee next year. Like they come out and just start destroying people.
Well, I think you've got likely is going to be, I don't know if likely comes back.
But almost everyone can come back. And if they do,
you got to have a shooter. Get somebody come back with a shooter, please. Somebody go find a shot in the off season.
But for me, like, I understand what it means to, like, because I've been there in terms of sports where you feel disrespected. And this team, they should be eligible to be in the Big 12 tournament. They should be eligible to be in the NCAAs, and they're going to be fucking pissed. And I think this team will roll people next.
I hope you are correct. I'm not going to hold my breath, but I hope you're correct.
Assuming most people stay.
Assuming most people stay. Yeah. I think you'd have to. So is that it? What else? There's nothing else. We don't have anything else.
Yeah, I got nothing else. I mean, I could talk, I'm gonna say it all day, but
I don't even have like any bad movies to talk about. I just got done watching the last episode of season 2 of Pennyworth, which I found entertaining on HBO Max.
I just finished Book of Boba Fett, which kind of sucked, but you know, whatever.
Well, so now I heard that it started out kind of and then a couple of my golf buddies were like, oh no, but it ended a lot better.
It ended better, but for 2 episodes, it was just Mando from Mandalorian and not Boba. Spoiler warning, etc. I don't know. It was okay. It was okay.
Well, I got, you know how many, a couple of my golf guys said, oh, you got to watch Jack Reacher. You got to watch Reacher.
I haven't seen that at all.
I'll give it a go because I liked the movie, right? The two movies with Tom Cruise. I really liked how he played the character, right? Now, keep in mind, okay, everybody on Twitter, oh, but the book. I never read the book, okay? Never read the book, the books, whatever they are, never read them. So I start watching, and it's this big behemoth dude who's like not much of an actor based on what I'm used to seeing. But then my golf guys are like, yeah, but that's the Jack Reacher. That's the Reacher character. Like he's a big guy. He's a big, you know, meaty dude. He's just overpowers people or whatever. I'm sitting there going, well, yeah, there's a million things I could watch as somebody just beating the crap out of people. But I want to see that, like that brooding sort of annoyed with people attitude, you know, that Tom Cruise sort of built out in those movies. So I'm going to try to watch a couple more. I'm kind of searching for, you know, something, my next thing. I'm looking forward, believe it or not, to the Netflix movie that's going to be coming out called The Adam Project.
Have you watched the Expanse?
No.
Oh, it's good. Especially if you like hard sci-fi where like they really get into like the technicalities of everything. It's so good.
What's it on?
Amazon, I think. I think it's on Amazon. I have to look at it, but yeah, it's really
we're watching Billions. You know, Billions came back on. Waiting, looking forward to Ted Lasso coming back.
Dude, Ted Lasso is so fucking good.
Oh, love that. And then there's one other one that I got the wife to start watching Succession.
I haven't heard of that.
Oh, you've never heard of that?
No, huh?
Oh, my Lord. People, I've seen plenty of people yapping about it, but it's an HBO Max. You should try that, man. It's screwed up. Holy mackerel. It makes billions look tame. It is so screwed up. but yeah, that's I'm kind of searching around. I may give Boba Fett a shot. I may give it a try because I'm a fan of the Star Wars stuff.
I am too. And it's,
but
it's,
I'm not like okay. A crazy person about it. Right.
Like I'll tell you right now. It's okay.
It's okay.
It's well, not okay. Great. It's not terrible. It's just, okay.
I like how you say it's not, it's like you're
it's not terrible.
It's not but terrible.
I wanted it to be really good. You know,
it sounds like Oklahoma State football. I wanted them to be so good. They weren't terrible.
Hey, we've been really damn good for a while now. So especially, I mean, you've been around. I've been around. I mean, my first year rooting for Oklahoma State, we went 2-10 or 2-11 or something crazy like
that. I will say this, and I've been an Oklahoma State football person since 1971. I have virtually no memory of Oklahoma State football in the 90s, other than there was a, we lost. That might have been 2000. We lost the Alamo Bowl to Drew Brees and Purdue. And I think we played Ohio State in something. Maybe I'm getting that confused with something, but
like a 2000.
Yeah. But my memory of Oklahoma State football in the 90s is like non-existent. But listen, I grew up with the days where, you know, okay, we just went 4-7 again. Right. And if we had a winning season, 6-5 was huge. 6-5 was gargantuan. If you had that, that was, you know, on it. Hey, here's a little nugget. Here's a little tidbit. So my first football memory, clear, I remember it like it was yesterday. Like I see it in my mind like it was yesterday, was the Super Bowl between the Colts and the Cowboys when Jim O'Brien kicked the game-winning field goal for Baltimore. And until the other day, I didn't know this, that was actually the first Super Bowl that an Oklahoma State player participated in. And it was Walt Garrison. And I'm like, that was it. See how appropriate that's my first clear football memory was the first Super Bowl that an Oklahoma State Cowboy played in.
So the funny thing about me and Oklahoma State is my dad, he was an Aggie for a long time. He that's where he got his master's degrees, was from A&M.
Wait, you mean like A&M Aggie?
Yeah. And the first two college football games I ever went to were A&M versus Oklahoma State.
Oh, my Lord.
And I was rooting against Oklahoma State. But now, even my dad roots against Oklahoma State or roots against A&M now. Like, you know, he was a professor there for a long time. So, yeah, it's just one of those funny things where I remember rooting against Oklahoma State, but now I'm like, yes, go Pokes, go Pokes, go.
Oh, Lord. I mean, I'll never. There was a guy who played hoops. Randy Wright was his name. He could miss layups. I listened to that radio. The only way I could hear anything was, you know, the AM radio, and you'd try to, you're trying to get it tuned in, right? And no sooner you get it tuned in, it would fade out on the day, you know, days that you were going to see him on TV, which was most of the time. But hoops and football, oh God, just lived and died with them. That was golly, those were the days. Those were the days. Going to Stillwater, get there around 11:30, go park. Because my parents had, you know, alumni tickets or, you know, parking passes or whatever. And we'd get there, walk over to Gallagher, go eat in the alumni lunchroom. We actually, there was a gal, I don't know if this is, I don't know if it's right. Her name might have been Miller, something Miller, maybe Stephanie Miller, who ended up being Miss Oklahoma. And she was actually like, would help kind of wait tables for drinks and stuff in the alumni lunchroom back in the 70s. And God, that was, and then Ghost, you know, one thirty, I think was the, if there was a home game on a Saturday, that was the kick time. Then just go and, oh, those were the days to get bumper stickers. I had it when Terry Miller in 76 was doing so well. I had a bumper sticker on the back of my truck that said the girdle for Heisman because that was his deal. He had notoriously bad hamstring, and he discovered that if he put on a girdle, it helped support him, and he like was able to withstand the hamstring issues.
That's amazing.
Well, that's all I got, Jacob.
Yeah, we should probably wrap it up. Cowboys and Cowgirls, thanks for coming out. And as always, we'll be back next time.
Hang on. I don't know what I'm doing.
you're the one running the show here.
So. I have no idea. I don't do it very often. I'm too bad I'm not doing it on my computer here. Here we go.
Yeah, I'm just there we all way, and I don't feel like editing it up.
Stop. Stop. Well, stop, for heaven's sakes. It won't stop. I can't get it to, hang on, maybe if I do that, it won't stop.
hey, either way, it's fucking fun, man. That was a good time.
All right. It's always a pleasure, man. I'll tell you right now, you guys know, unless I got something going on, I'm happy to hop on and shoot the shit. So.
Yeah, and I needed this. I needed like a good, just like, me and Ian are just like way too like focused.
Yeah. I have a hard time. I have a hard time focusing. Well, this time of year, you know, where you don't know, no football, basketball is kind of wrestling. God dang it.
Yeah. I mean, everything's just kind of meh right now.
I got to get, I got to pay more attention to the spring sports. So anyway, well, thank you, sir. We'll end this and I'll Dropbox you the recording so you can download it.
Awesome. Thanks.
All right, man. Take care.
Later.